From the Palestine News Network, I'm Kristen S. with This Week in Review for the first week of February 2009.
In Gaza, there is no tomorrow.
Every Palestinian has a duty to resist the occupation.
Millions of people praised Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan for telling Israeli President Shimon Peres that he was adept at killing, as the Israeli attempted to justify the massacres in Gaza. Umra'ed in the West Bank as a refugee camp was one of the few who did not regard the Turk as a hero. She was befuddled at all the fuss. Words, she said, they're just words. The press is talking about a ceasefire and reconstruction, but under a year and a half of siege, raw materials have been banned. After closing all of the crossings to humanitarian aid, both preceding, during, and after the major attacks, the Israelis are currently allowing in a limited amount through the southern crossing that the United Nations Relief and Works Agency spokesperson Adnan Abu Hesna says is meeting the basic needs of just 20% of the 900,000 people it is now serving.
Yes, the Israelis right now, they are allowing goods to get into Gaza through Karm Abu Salem crossing point in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. We get all the humanitarian aid organization and the private sector nearly 100 trucks a day, while the needs of the Gaza Strip is nearly 500 trucks a day. It means that 20% only of the needs. Regarding the rebuilding and the reconstruction, I think that it is very early to talk about that unless the Israelis are not allowing more than 20 months. Since 20 months, they are not allowing the building material to get into Gaza. We have projects of $93 million in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. And right now, we did not succeed in building thousands of shelters for the Palestinian refugees whose houses have been destroyed during the Palestinian Intifada in Rafah and Khan Yunis area.
Officials and much of the press are talking about a ceasefire negotiations. The Hamas party, still demonized, insists that the idea of ceasefire must include an opening of the crossings and an end to Israeli aggressions. The Israelis have greatly politicized the opening of the crossings in the past and continue to do so now, leading to a near total collapse in the water, sewage, farming, agriculture, health, civil, and social sectors. Adnan Abu Hesna from the United Nations says, Gaza is a big prison. You cannot import, you cannot export, you cannot leave.
But still we have the same problems. We have problems in electricity, water, the sewage system, lack of medicine, lack of equipment, lack of professional people that they can do surgeries. This is a big problem. This is a big problem that we are facing here. Gaza is a big prison. That no, you cannot import, you cannot export, you cannot even, you know, send your guys outside of Gaza. So this is the main problem, that, okay, there is a ceasefire now and things are improving, that no killing, no injuring, all these things. But we are afraid that we will come back to the same point, the anger, the frustration. This is what, you know, fearing us a lot.
The Israelis continue to levy threats regarding a closure of one of the crossings that is partially opened this week. But Adnan Abu Hesna says that as a Gaza resident, he doesn't want to focus on that, to believe that it is possible that the Israelis would again block everything.
We don't want to think in that way. We don't want to think in that way because closing the terminals or the crossing points again, or this is actually, there is one crossing point that is open. Closing Karm Abu Salem crossing point, I mean, it will lead to great suffering here in the Gaza Strip and the anger and the disappointment and distress. You know, expression, and everything will be rising again. And, you know, we don't want to see that. We don't want to believe that that the Israelis, you know, are going to close it again.
And that was UNRWA spokesperson in Gaza City, Adnan Abu Hesna. You're listening to This Week in Review on the Palestine News Network. For more news, see english.pnn.ps. The Lebanese ship carrying aid to the Gaza Strip was besieged by Israeli forces. The Egyptians are rerouting any aid from its shared crossing with Rafah to the Israeli crossing of Karm Abu Salem at the bequest of the Israelis, who insist on full control. The Americans and Israelis are moving along with their memorandum of understanding, which just added cameras along the border with Egypt and more Egyptian soldiers, along with Israeli air attacks. All of this is ostensibly aimed to destroy the tunnels used for imports during siege, imports of gas, fuel, food, medicine. The Israelis and Americans have the Europeans with them in this public witch hunt regarding weapons smuggling. The plight of the Gaza Strip, whose 1.5 million people were being destroyed in a literal attempt by the Israelis to starve occupied Palestine into submission, was ignored until the Israelis made a major campaign out of the projectile launches, and suddenly, although the Israelis were largely supported internationally in the killing of 1,300 Palestinians and the wounding of 5,400, people finally took notice of Gaza, its existence, and a version of reality, regardless of how skewed. They were disparaged for engaging in armed resistance, the right of an occupied people against its occupier. Nonviolent demonstrations were attacked in East Jerusalem and the West Bank. Nadal from East Jerusalem described hundreds of arrests of demonstrators. Israeli forces killed another 3 people during West Bank demonstrations. All the while, this ongoing Palestinian nonviolent resistance movement was attacked by Israeli forces and considered inept by others.
Rana Al-Arja, you are a nonviolence trainer and the director of the Nonlinear Leadership Department at the Holy Land Trust. We're going to read you this quote. The Palestinians will continue to choose, sometimes violence, sometimes nonviolence. They will presumably base their choices, as they have always done, on their assessment of the political realities. The notion that a people can free itself literally by allowing their captors to walk all over them is historical fantasy. If we look at Israeli actions against Palestinians, they are essentially the same if you're involved in the nonviolent resistance movement, the armed resistance movement, or if you're simply living here under occupation, you are a target. Can you talk about the nonviolent resistance movement? What are some of the strategies that are being employed, its ability to affect change?
Thank you for hosting me today, Kristen. First of all, I would say that in Palestine, as it's a land under occupation, and when the oppressor is using violent means to steal your land, demolish your home, kill your people, it is a normal reflection for the people to use violent as well. Violence means of resistance. So in Palestine, you could find, as you said in the code, okay, so it's natural that the Palestinian people will use both means, the violence and nonviolence, to confront the oppressor, which is the Israeli occupation. The Palestinian has a history, and always you could find there is ups and downs with the nonviolence resistance movement. But lately, with the second intifada and with the more violence that is being occurred, what happened to the Palestinian people that there has been a change in choosing also the violence resistance. But if we go back and compare between the first intifada and the second intifada, and how in the first intifada the use of nonviolence methods brought less victims of the Palestinian people comparing to the second intifada, that make us understand somehow that the nonviolence resistance is somehow better choice for the Palestinian people. I'm not saying that the Israeli occupation is confronting the nonviolence resistance less violently than the violence resistance, because they use both means to oppress any Palestinian who thinks to resist. But I would say that for us, we don't have any choice, any other choice except using the nonviolence. Because if we compare ourselves to the oppressors, to the occupiers, we don't have the same means of weapons. Okay, you could say that there is factions of political parties that they have weapons, but what is the comparison between those weapons to those tanks that the Israelis are using, to those F-16s, and lately in Gaza they used a lot of illegal weapons against the Palestinians, the phosphorus bombs that they throw. All these means that if you look at us as Palestinians, we still don't have a state, we don't have an army to resist this occupation army that is being in Palestine. So for us, there is no other choice except using the nonviolence methods.
It is clear when viewing the lower number of Palestinians killed when comparing armed resistance versus nonviolent resistance that there are fewer deaths among the nonviolent resistance than the armed resistance. However, the political losses in structure, organization, and on the ground are equally devastating, if not more so. West Bank organizer Rana Al-Arja says nonviolent resistance is a long-term strategy with few short-term results.
When you're dealing with a world where the only way that you get paid attention to as a starving, I mean, they were being literally starved to death. The only reason that could be given and accepted by the international press and the world, you know, at large, to pay any attention to this place that was to say, oh, they're launching projectiles. And
I agree somehow with you, because using violence means and what happened, let's say, in Gaza, maybe it brought a result. Like, using violence brings you faster results than nonviolence. And this is the case. Like when you use, but the thing that what we have to look at, it's not always the result, because sometimes the result with violence, it's just temporary. And then things would change, and you cannot end or reach to a result with this means. But using nonviolence, as you said, using nonviolence is not just being negative or passive. On the contrary, it's very powerful. It's very strategic, but it takes long terms. So for us, we have to understand that our resistance will take a lot of time. The nonviolence resistance will take a lot of time to get what we really want, the self-determination of the Palestinian people, having all our international basic human rights, obtaining our country, living in a peaceful country. These are all rights that we try to fight for. For the people in Gaza, even if they don't go to the street and let's say do demonstrations against the occupation, but their existence in Gaza is just kind of resistance. Going to schools every day is resistance. Staying at their home is resistance. Kinds of nonviolence resistance has a lot of kinds. Boycotting Israeli products is kind of nonviolence resistance. I think every Palestinian, the moment he's born in Palestine, even outside Palestine, he has a duty, an obligation to resist the occupation. Because if we want to have a Palestinian state, we need to resist.
Preparations are underway for a nonviolent march organized by local Palestinians and those in the diaspora.
There's a world march for peace and nonviolence. It's going to start taking place in New Zealand in October 2nd in 2009. And this march will go all over the world and end in Argentina. So in January 2nd, 2010. So it's going to take almost 3 months. But in Palestine, the march will be there between 13 and the 15th of October. And as Holy Land Trust, we're taking the initiative to be the organizers for this march in Palestine. And the aim of this march in Palestine for us is just to reflect how we want to end the occupation, end the war in Palestine, and reflect all the violence that's being done on the Palestinian people, on Gaza, the massacres, all these oppression of the occupation on the Palestinian people. So it's very important for us as Palestinians to take part of this world march, to reflect the Palestinian cause, and to reflect our hopes to end the occupation and have a peaceful state.
Okay, thank you. Rana Al-Arja, nonviolence trainer and director of the Nonlinear Leadership Department at the Holy Land Trust. We will check back in with you throughout the next year to see what the progress is on the World Nonviolent March. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kristen.
You're listening to This Week in Review on the Palestine News Network. For more news, see english.pnn.ps. Israeli forces assassinated this morning 21-year-old Alaa Abu Arub in Jenin's Kabatia. He was a leader in the armed resistance of Islamic Jihad. Hamas's Khaled Meshel made a stir this week by suggesting that the PLO be effectively closed and replaced by a more representative organization that involved all political parties. This added to the anti-Hamas fervor that has been developed in stages to ensure that this oft-quoted idea of national unity remains in shambles. There can be no independent state under such conditions, and in the meantime, the Israelis are destroying houses in East Jerusalem and the Al-Aqsa Mosque through ongoing excavations that led to an UNRWA school collapse in the Silwan neighborhood. Parties continue to call for internal reconciliation to combat the current works of the occupation, which is expanding settlements in East Jerusalem with another 3,500 units that will entirely close off the city from Ramallah, despite the presence of the new U.S. envoy George Mitchell, who called for an end to settlement activity in his 2000 report. With This Week in Review for the beginning of February 2009 on the Palestine News Network, I'm Kristen S. with engineers Shiraz Rishmawi and Samir Saad. PNN.PS.